Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Eileen Marty, vaccine clinic commander and professor at Florida International University. How are you, Dr. Marty?
Oh, good. I have to talk to the Chamber of Commerce today, so I was going to talk to them about the economic impact of COVID-19.
I was just reading something, where is it here, in the Wall Street Journal, about this time we're in now. And do you agree that it's the highest risk period of getting COVID-19 that we've seen during the pandemic?
Well, we're dealing with a much more contagious variant than we were a year ago. That's part of the reason. And and by the way, we're upwards of 99.8% Delta right now. So, and it's incredibly contagious. So that gives us an increased risk. There's a drop in immunity, both by people who've had COVID before and somewhat from the vaccine. So that also sets up those people. And then there's still, 47% of us that are not vaccinated, which, are at high risk of acquiring this thing. And there's a general, pandemic fatigue that leads people, a lot of people, to disregard the non-pharmaceutical interventions that they can do to decrease their risk. All of that has combined to an increased risk of exposure.
There have been some, not many, but some cases of this Mu variant, M-U, here in Illinois. My wife says, stop being so neurotic when I bring this topic up. Should I worry about the new variant?
So the thing about Mu, Mu is an escape mutant. So it can overcome the protections that you might already have from having had COVID more easily than many other variants. We actually had a significant number of Mu in Miami a few months ago, but it was overwhelmed by Delta because while Mu is an escape mutant, the Delta is just yields so much virus per every time somebody breathes it out that it dominates a population very quickly. So as long as there's Delta to worry about, Mu is going to stay low. The question is, and what we're worried about, what we're watching for is, Mu continues to be something that is very contagious, though not as contagious as Delta, and it can overwhelm the protections that you get from having had Delta. Mm-hmm. So there is a real possibility that once there's saturation with Delta, that Mu could take its place, which would be really, really bad news. I don't think it's going in that direction. Hopefully it won't. And hopefully we'll get enough people with enough overall good immunity from vaccines that it won't be an issue. But really, it really depends on what people choose to do.
If you're vaccinated and get the, as I call them, an outlier case, I like to call it an outlier, not a breakthrough because it's so rare. But if you're vaccinated and get the Delta variant, are you as contagious as a person would be who picked up that variant and was not vaccinated?
So in our lab, and now it's well acknowledged, yes, you can be just as contagious. However, you're much less likely to be sick in the first place, so your chances of being asymptomatic with Delta at high viral load is much better if you're vaccinated. Second of all, you're even if you get sick, you're much less likely to end up sick enough to be in the hospital. And then third of all, if you're vaccinated and get Delta and you do get sick enough to get into the hospital, we're much more able to get you out of the hospital a lot sooner and well than if you're unvaccinated. So the people who linger on, first of all, the people who come to hospital tend to be unvaccinated overwhelmingly, and the people who, and these unvaccinated are the ones that linger in the hospital longer because they're much harder to manage medically and improve their condition because they don't have any sort of built in from the vaccine resistance of their own, and they're dealing with this horrible virus.
None of the COVID-19 tests can tell you which variant you have, can they?
The ones that you normally get, that, you know, the consumer, no. And PCR doesn't standardly tell you which variant you have. Now, there are ways in which you can, by PCR, distinguish variants, but you have to use specific primers for those variants, and that's not what's done in any commercial lab. That would be done as research. And what is done typically to determine whether you have a particular variant is sequencing of the virus that you're infected with, and that's very expensive and cumbersome and is only done as a research protocol. There's no EUA for doing sequencing, and there's no EUA either for doing primers specific to a variant. So if you go and get a quote-unquote COVID test somewhere, they are not testing you to distinguish which variant you have. Although all of us, you know, who have high complexity labs that can do PCR are sending some samples on to the state and or the CDC directly so that we can find out what's going on in our population. The University of Miami here has their own specific program for sequencing, and again, it's a research protocol that they only do, you know, a small sample of their positives to get an idea of the percent positivity in our community.
If you've been traveling or you think you've been exposed to the virus, what's the time frame where you should get tested?
So the incubation period, if you will, between when you're exposed and when you test positive, that's not usually how we call incubation. Usually we talk incubation between the time you're exposed and the time you have symptoms. But what you want to know is actually between the time that you get exposed and the time that your test would prove that you're positive. Mm-hmm. With the Delta variant, that's narrowed, right? So before we were saying wait 4 or 5 days. Now 3 to 4 days is probably, for a PCR, going to show you that you're positive. For if you're looking at a rapid test, you pretty much have to wait till you have symptoms. Wait a few more days because that's so much less sensitive. With a rapid test, you're literally detecting whatever minute numbers of particles there are. And by the way, it doesn't really take a lot of, you know, to make you sick ultimately, but with a PCR, we amplify, we do 30,000 times the amount of viral particles that we receive, and we can detect that and figure out exactly your viral load. So there's a big difference between when it's detectable by something super sensitive like PCR and when it's detectable by a RAP, you know, one of those antigen or even, an antigen test.
Well, before I let you go, let me just say for the record that I am less neurotic now after talking to you and also after reading the Johns Hopkins research about how rare it is for you to get really sick if you've been vaccinated. So once again, that underlines this issue where people are suffering because of misinformation, aren't they?
Absolutely.
All right, I'll tell my wife that I'm going to go home today in a non-neurotic state, thanks to Dr. Eileen Marty.
Hey, do a little gargling. That wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, no, I do the mouthwash gargling based on what you told us here a long time ago. Thanks, Dr. Marty. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.